Venom: Let There Be Carnage is the sequel to 2018's Venom, which introduced us to reporter Eddie Brock, played by Tom Hardy, and the super-powered alien symbiote living inside and sometimes on top of and sometimes around him, who is also voiced by Hardy. Like that first film, Let There Be Carnage features more symbiote-on-symbiote violence, this time in the form of a red alien named Carnage, who's attached itself to serial killer Cletus Cassidy, played by Woody Harrelson. I'm Glenn Weldon, and today we're talking about the runaway box office hit Venom: Let There Be Carnage on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining me today is NPR Music Editorial Assistant Letitia Harris. Hey, Letitia.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Very well. Really glad to have you on. Okay, Let There Be Carnage was directed by Andy Serkis. Yeah, that Andy Serkis. And it brings back a lot of stuff from the first film, like Eddie's former girlfriend Anne, played by Michelle Williams, and her fiancé Dan, played by Reed Scott. But it also introduces new characters into this Marvel-ish, Marvel-adjacent universe. Woody Harrelson's Cletus Cassidy, who was glimpsed in a mid-credit scene at the end of the 2018 film, and his girlfriend Frances, played by Naomi Harris. She's a mutant with whom he developed a relationship when they both lived in a children's home together, like decades before. Now, Harrelson's 60, Harris is 45, but don't try to do the math on that, because like a lot of things in this movie, it works if you don't think about it. And a lot of people didn't think about it over its opening weekend. It made more than $90 million domestically, the biggest box office of the pandemic era. Letitia, let's get you on record here. I think I know where you're headed, but what did you think of Venom, Let There Be Carnage?
Oh, Glenn. I have to be dramatic for this episode. I would apologize, but it's Venom.
Nope, go.
And when I say that it's Venom, I mean, you know, we are discussing my entire heart. That gay alien with ADHD is my child.
Uh-huh.
And anticipating the sequel has been the one thing holding me together throughout the pandemic.
Oh, man.
I think what many people ignore about this franchise when they're delivering all their hot takes is that, you know, the relationship between Eddie and Venom is a goldmine, you know? Mm-hmm. They're both losers who teach each other how to take care of themselves, love each other, love others, and be the best they can be. And, you know, these Venom films are about the intimacy of connection. It's a franchise for freaks who love enemies to lovers, rom-com tropes, sexy gays who love action and a good visual, people who live for fun. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I think that Venom, Let There Be Carnage is an amazingly outrageous and delicious side quest of gay liberation.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that is an Oscar winner. And by the way, Bob Richardson, the cinematographer, if you're listening to this, I love you. I am free for a drink. Hit me up.
I love that for you. I really do. I really do. But I think we have to, I mean, you've just given your thesis statement, but let's turn, you know, we booked you on this show, Letitia, and then we found that tweet that you tweeted over the weekend about this film. Could you read it for me?
Okay. Venom, Let There Be Carnage is for sexy gay people who appreciate love, chaos, and fun. It is a roller coaster ride dripping with charm, off the charts chemistry, you know, shout out to Naomi Harris and Woody Harrelson, and jaw-dropping action sequences. And Tom Hardy excels as a squabbling newlywed. I think he deserves all the awards.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, I completely accept your thesis. And I think embedded in that tweet and in your statements are the reasons this movie didn't hit for me. It's for sexy gay people who appreciate love, chaos, and fun. Of those five descriptors, I am gay people. So I think that's probably why it kind of missed me. We can agree, though. I hope that this is a dumb movie, right? This is dumb.
No, okay. I'm sorry, Glenn. I can't give in. It's certainly ridiculous.
Okay.
I will not say that it's dumb or stupid. I'm going to take Venom for what it is, and it is a ridiculous piece of work, and I love it for that.
It's loud. It's silly. It's got. You mentioned this in your tweet. You mentioned this in your intro. The C word, chaos. This has such big chaos energy. It wears you down. By the time Woody Harrelson's character delivers the line, "Let there be carnage," which I knew he was going to do, Letitia, because it's that kind of movie.
Exactly.
I was already so worn down. I just shrugged my shoulders. You know what? Because earlier I got tripped up. Earlier, He had done this line reading where he says, every hero needs an origin story. And it just spun me out. It's for 5 minutes. I was like, what? Why origin? Why would you pronounce it origin? And by the time I snapped back, there was more, you know, murky nighttime CGI fighting because it's always nighttime in San Francisco.
Exactly.
I feel like what it was going for is some of the raw, rough, chaotic energy of like early Sam Raimi films, like Evil Dead and Dark Man, where aren't neither of those two films are spoofs exactly, but they clearly want you to know, to see, to feel that the filmmakers are having fun while they make it. I didn't like this movie, but I was never bored by it. And in this first film, I kind of was. I was kind of bored sometimes by the first film. I still kind of resented because it made Riz Ahmed seem uncharismatic to me. That's kind of a war crime. But let's drill down. You talk to me about Tom Hardy's performance, because that's something that I could clock into too.
Okay, so Tom Hardy's performance, I feel like he has already done the work of proving himself as an action star. We do not need anything else from him. With Venom, when you're talking about the first Venom being boring, I see exactly what you mean, Glenn. The first half, we get, you know, all of Ruben's direction, and then the second half is all of Tom Hardy just doing whatever he wants.
Right.
The sequel succeeds because Tom Hardy is allowed to do whatever he wants. His performance as Venom and Eddie is amazing. That one-man show he has going on, like, I just think it's so captivating. I think it's so beautiful to look at. It's like a train wreck. Like, watching him do what he does with himself, like, knowing that Eddie himself is a terrible mess of a man, and then Tom Hardy bringing that to life and all the charisma and his little, like, angsty look on his face every single time he thinks about anything that disturbs him. It's so sweet and tender. Like, I just want to hold them close, you know? And I think action movies are stupid, truthfully. I think the premise of them are dumb, and I think, you know, blowing things up and fighting for fighting's sake is stupid. So seeing this kind of spoof on an action superhero film and turning into this weird rom-com with an alien really does it for me. It takes away the usual dumbness I feel when I'm watching an action movie, and it makes it just like brain mush viewing pleasure.
Yeah. And I get you 100% on Tom Hardy. He enters the screen and he's just squirrely. Like, something is off about this character, and you can tell. And it's not like it's Clark Kent Superman. It is, Venom is always literally and figuratively under the surface of this performance. And I, whenever I would spin out, whenever I get stuck on something like origin, I would just clock in on the voice that Hardy has given Venom. He could have chosen to do anything, right? And what it seems he's doing, Eddie, it sounds like he's doing like Laurence Olivier, it's like vaguely British, declaiming a Shakespearean soliloquy on Molly.
Exactly.
My life. Do you know how lucky you are that I chose you?
You chose me?
I feel like his voice from Venom 1 to Venom 2 changes drastically. You know, Venom 1 is more serious and more like somber, and it's like less of this like ridiculous accent that makes no sense. But Venom 2, he just takes it. He literally like takes his original accent, you know, goes to Australia for a second, has a huge binge, comes back, is on Molly, and is just delivering the performance of his life. Like, I really feel like Rent was due. He needed to make money quickly. Nothing else mattered. It was amazing.
It was amazing. I'm going to give you that much. I'm also, I don't know why I'm consistently surprised that Michelle Williams is in this film, but I'm consistently surprised. Whenever I see her, she is in it, right? She is not like, she could, never seems like she's above it all. She could, but she's completely game. She's giving and taking. She's a big part of this movie in a surprising way.
I feel like they gave Michelle Williams the worst lines of this film, and she just took them like a champ. You know, she said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to give them everything they want. I don't care if this is a terrible role for me. I don't care if this makes me look terrible. She just had so much fun doing this. And I feel like her willingness to go along with the absurdity is what really needs to happen. Everyone has to be on the same page as Tom Hardy with being a ridiculous idiot. And Michelle Williams plus Woody Harrelson take absolute joy in just being such messes and being such chaotic on-screen, you know, balls of fun. I love it so much.
Talk to me about Woody Harrelson, though. Like, as Cletus Cassidy, as this serial killer, and he has to establish this bond, this romantic relationship with Naomi Harris's character, a mutant named Frances called Shriek, because she has a shrieking sound, which is, you know, they're star-crossed lovers because symbiotes don't like loud noises. What'd you make of Woody Harrelson?
I think this performance, he took the dramatic Shakespearean theater kid role and applied it here with such force that it almost did not work for me. I was a little put off by how earnestly ridiculous he was able to make it feel. Like, I really felt like Woody Harrelson disappeared into this very different person. And as Cletus, like, I think in comparison to Riz's villain, Cletus is more of a, like, fly in the room, annoying you, very irritating, not very scary whatsoever. I was not fearful of this antagonist whatsoever. But I feel like it's more in line with the heart of the Venom movies, and him just being, you know, a dramatic gay trying to get his love back and, like, cause a little chaos is exactly what we need. We don't need a villain who's going to, like, destroy the world with space exploration. We need someone who just wants to kiss his lover and blow up things. And I feel like Woody really makes that ridiculous subplot work. I do wish we had more of Naomi, but I'm also wondering what that could have even looked like in this overstuffed film.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's funny to me how both Tom Hardy and Woody Harrelson have the same thing to play, which is alien symbiote go nuts, and they do it in such different ways. Maybe I'm just more used to Tom Hardy's take on it, but I do think Tom Hardy just, you know, kind of nailed that in a way that Woody Harrelson, you know, struggled with. But let's get to it. You keep talking about this beautiful romantic relationship.
Yes.
To me, it's not really a hot take to say that the film treats Eddie and Venom as a gay couple. Certainly Andy Serkis, the director, has said it's a love affair. But to me, I mean, all we saw was them kind of bickering. If you're gonna do it, if you're gonna say they're a gay couple, let's see some man-on-goo action, you know? I mean, let's get freaky. I mean, he's got the tentacles. You're almost there.
Exactly. You know, Glenn, I was on Letterboxd scrolling through reviews, and one of them was like, I didn't really appreciate the 5-minute hardcore makeout scene between Eddie and Venom. And I was like, did they cut that from the press screening? Like, I want to see that. What are you talking about? I realize now it's a joke, but, like, I would have loved a full-on hardcore makeout scene. Like, but I do hear you on the bickering thing. I feel like this sequel, we see, you know, Venom and Eddie get together. They're meet cute in Venom 1. But then this is the, you know, we're out of the honeymoon phase. They are no longer newlyweds. It's no longer fun. It's a little bit of a drag. But, you know, they have to renegotiate their boundaries, communicate, you know, get on the same page again and realign themselves with their love. And when they do that, you know, that gay rave scene where Venom comes out and says how much he misses Eddie, like, at that moment of the film, I know it did not work for a lot of people, but I was absolutely crying. I was so happy.
I like the emotion of that scene. I liked that scene's intent. That is the most heterosexual gay rave I have ever seen in my life. My God. It's like, just show me. It's not, it's more than glow sticks, people.
It is more than glow sticks. It's more than glitter. It's more than weird costumes. And they did get a lot of straight people for the audience filler. But I'm going to stay in my beautiful little brain and pretend that it was a beautiful gay rave scene. Did you have any thoughts about the plot or lack thereof?
Yeah, it's, you know, you use the word overstuffed. That's exactly what it is. It's a very simple boy meets goo. goo loses boy. Boy marries goo. I don't know. what did you think of the plot? Talk to me about the plot.
I think halfway through I realized there wasn't a plot and I just was resigned to that. Mm-hmm. The ability to just go full in on something so idiotic and so amazing. Mm-hmm. Really pleased me. I feel like plot-wise, I don't need a plot. I do not need a plot.
You know, we came down at very different places on this film. We found some common ground. That's good. You know what I liked? I like the chickens.
Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher.
That's what it's about, Glenn. It's about Venom learning how to love intensely. And you know who helps him do that? Eddie. And that's why we love these films.
And that's why you love these films. We want to know what you think about Venom, Let There Be Carnage. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for being here, Leticia. This was a great talk.
Thank you, Glenn.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about the new James Bond film, No Time to Die.